Alleluia. Alleluia. It's my joy to bring this message to you. I'm so delighted, trusting God that God will give understanding, God will give revelation, God will give enlightenment through it, and the Lord will make the listeners to be blessed through it, and then it will cause the message to bring an appreciation into people's lives in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. I want to speak. I'll be speaking for some time on a very interesting subject, interesting and important, and I want to encourage us to listen carefully and be blessed through it, because the Word of God is what we need to advance in every area of our lives. So I'm delighted to bring this teaching titled Danger Signals in Relationship. Danger Signals in Relationship. By relationship, I mean two people coming together, flowing together, getting to know each other, particularly in their journey towards marriage. So this subject will be about that, and I want us to listen carefully. In every relationship, it involves two people, and there are different phases. And this particular one, this particular teaching I'm doing, has to do with relationship that is kind of a build up to marriage. You know, before two people come together in the lifelong relationship of marriage, there's usually the process of getting to know each other, getting to discover who they are, so that in the future they can build up a relationship together. So we could also title this as Danger Signals in Friendship, or sometimes it could even move to the period of courtship. So I want us to flow with this, and let's look at some scriptures to start off with as a foundation. I want to start with Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 12, from verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here we see, particularly from verse 9 to the end of this chapter, we see like a portrait of the character that is expected of a child of God. Let me say this before I continue, that this teaching is particularly meant, or is particularly expected to work in the life of somebody who is a child of God. It's expected to work in the life of somebody who has made Jesus the Savior and Lord of his or her life. And we'll see the reason for that later on. Let's add another reading from Galatians chapter 5, from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, where we have just read, these two passages that we have just read, just give us a picture of the character portrait of a child of God. The character portrait of a child of God. It shows who a child of God is. It shows the kind of behavioral attributes that is expected of a child of God. And this kind of a person is the kind of a person that somebody should aspire to develop a relationship with the hope that someday this relationship will lead to marriage. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to look at some of these character portraits. We want to look at them. And in looking at them, we are going to be seeing that anything that is contrary to this in the life of somebody calls for restraint, calls for a kind of a slowing down in the process of developing an intimate relationship. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. We are talking about danger signals. I want to look at it from the angle of Galatians chapter 5, some of the qualities we see there. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, what is expected to be seen in the life of a child of God. Romans chapter 9, chapter 12, 9 to 21 also corroborates that. So anything that is different from that, as I've said, is something that we have to consider closely. When you are going out, now when you talk about relationship, one of the things that is very, very crucial about relationship is that it's character, behavior is a major criteria to consider in having a relationship with anybody. So these are the character portrait. Number one, if you are going out with somebody, you are thinking of marrying somebody, and you begin to see these signs there, please look at it again. Stop, look, and then listen and think as well. Number one, when there is an absence of love, the Bible says, Galatians 5:22-23, the first of the fruit of the Spirit is actually love. In fact, it has also been said that the whole fruit of the Spirit, as itemized in Galatians 5:22-23, is actually love in expression, the expression of love. So if you're in a relationship and there's the absence of love, please, I want you to slow down. Is it possible to be in a relationship that lacks love? Yes, because many people come close for different reasons. But if you are in a relationship and you are thinking of making that relationship to end up in marriage, there must be love. If love is absent, please slow down. And actually, the word love in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, is translated from three Greek words for love. You have philo, you have agape, and you have eros. Filio has to do with brotherly love. That is the love that somebody has for a biological brother, a natural brother. That is just filio. You are interested in the well-being of somebody else. That is filio. So that brotherly love has to be there, because whoever you are going out with, or whoever you are thinking of marrying, has to be somebody that, like a brother or like a sister. Praise the name of Jesus. Then we have the agape love. In fact, this one should be present. The first one should be present, filio, at the onset. The agape love is a God kind of love. The love that is sacrificial. The love that is not based on any condition. The love that doesn't consider the financial state or the physical feature of the partner. A love that loves wholesomely, that loves somebody without condition. That is the kind of love that God had for man. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is also the kind of love that Jesus has for us. Jesus says in John chapter 15 verse 13, that greater love had no man than this, that a man or someone should lay down his life for his friends. So this is the love that somebody exhibits without condition. And then the third one, of course, I said the Greek translation of love, that is translated love into the English word love from the Bible, is from three Greek words: philia, agape, and then eros. Eros is the erotic love. And when it comes to relationship, we are talking about relationship that's a build up to marriage. So there should not be absence of genuine love. Filio should be there. You should see that brother person as a brother or as a sister. The agape love should also be there. The erotic love, which is the sexual love, the love that is that has to do with you having feelings for that person, that one should be there, but it should not be the focus at this level, because the sexual love is only reserved for marriage. So if there is the absence of love, if you are sensing that in this relationship there is no love, please, I want you to know that that's a danger signal, because any relationship that lacks love has no future. Any relationship that does not have love does not have a future. So you have to be careful that you don't commit yourself into a relationship that has no love in it. So if there is an absence of love in that relationship, please, I beg of you, slow down. Don't go further. Wait until that love develops. Then number two, if there is an absence of joy, remember Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23, the first of the three fruits of the spirit there, we have looked at love. Joy is the second one there. If there is an absence of joy, by joy I mean deep-seated gladness in your heart for that relationship, having the element of permanency, a love that is not based on circumstances, not dependent on circumstances, a joy that is not based on circumstances, a joy that brings excitement. Now we are talking about relationship that we build up, as that serve as a build up to marriage. So if this love is not there, if this excitement is not there, if you are not happy anytime you see that person, please, I want you to slow down. That's a danger signal. If you really are in a relationship that is of God, that will do you good in the future, that joy will be there. You look forward to seeing that person. You'll be happy. That person will be a joy bringer into your life. Praise the name of Jesus. But if that joy is absent and you're always sad anytime you think about that relationship, anytime you think of that person, anytime you see that person, you're always sad, you are not glad, please, that's a danger signal. I'd like you to slow down and watch out and find out what is really going on. Number three, we are talking about danger signals in a relationship. You can watch out, you can observe, you can watch, you can see these signs. If these signs are there, it's something you can see, especially over time, giving it time. Number three, there's an absence of peace. Please, I want you to slow down. Slow down, because that is a danger signal. When we talk about peace, we are talking about rest of mind. Rest of mind, tranquility. Now, restlessness in your heart, especially as a child of God, is a sure sign that all is not well. It's a sure sign that even all is not well with you spiritually. As a child of God, if you don't have peace in your heart, it shows that all is not well. Something is not working out the way it should. It's either you are taking it could mean that it's either you are taking the wrong step, or you are already in the wrong territory, because God is not the author of confusion. So if you find out that in that relationship there is no peace, there's restlessness, there's agitation, I want to beg you that you should slow down. Do you know that the God that we serve is the God of peace? The Bible says he's the God of peace. We have the peace of God, and we also have the God of peace. There's a difference between the two. We have the peace of God. When we give our lives to Christ, our peace is restored. We have peace with God. And then also, as we begin to walk with him, we are daily obeying him. One of the signs of obedience is that when you want to obey God, most of the time the peace of God is there. And when God is leading you, the peace of God will also be there. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 5, I beg your pardon, Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Once we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, as we begin to move with God, as we begin to walk with God, we begin to enjoy that peace the more. Anything that want to truncate or affect that peace is a sure sign that you should slow down. Something is going wrong, or something is about to go wrong. Listen to this verse in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 12. It says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Incidentally, joy and peace, they are like partners. They work together most of the time. So this verse says, you shall go out with joy and you shall be led forth with peace. You shall go out with joy and you shall be led forth with peace. You shall be led forth with peace. Praise the name of Jesus. It didn't say you shall be led forth with confusion. I have found out in my life, there is one thing that God has used time and time again to guide me, is the presence of peace in my heart. Anytime I'm thinking of doing anything, even before I pray seriously about it, if my peace is disturbed as I'm thinking, at the level of thinking, if my peace is disturbed, I know for sure that this is not God. Something is not right about this. And then it's either I wait, or if that confusion persists in my heart, even after waiting, I call it off. Many times is after I have stopped, as I wait on the Lord, that the Lord will now tell me that, look, this is the reason. This is not in my perfect way. So any relationship you are in and you lack peace, you don't have peace about it, things are not right, you know, you are agitated, you are confused in your heart, it shows that something is wrong. Something is not right somewhere. Psalm 85 verse 8. Look at this again. He said, I will hear what the Lord will speak. He will speak peace to his people. The speaking of God most of the time is usually accompanying with peace. The speakings of God. So if there is an absence of peace in your heart concerning that relationship, please, I beg of you, it is a sign that something is going wrong somewhere, or something is not going to work out fine in the future. You might not see anything wrong physically. That's one thing about it. For now, things might be looking on fine physically, but if you are beginning to sense a problem, you are beginning to sense absence of peace, please, I want you to stop. It is not advisable, it is not safe to continue. Many people today who are having it tough in relationship. Maybe they are married and they are having serious problems that they cannot resolve, and it's almost leading to the breakup of such a marriage. They can tell you, I'm talking about children of God, they can testify to the fact that there was a time they didn't feel right about it, about that relationship. They will tell you that because I didn't see anything wrong physically, even when I was feeling not too comfortable with it inwardly about this relationship, I couldn't call it off because I everything physically seemed to be okay. But please, I want you to know that as children of God, we are guided first from within, and then without. We are moved by what is inside us, is not what is outside us. So I want us to take note of that. Please don't forget, we are talking about danger signals in a relationship. Number one, absence of love. Number two, absence of joy. Number three, absence of peace. If these three are absent in that relationship, please slow down. It is not likely, it is most likely that something is not right somewhere. Please, I want to also tell us that you have to give it time to really know the state of things, the state of your heart, the state of your mind concerning the relationship. If you are feeling all of this, just give it some time and pray more about it. God could show you some other things that will confirm this state of your heart concerning the relationship, or God may not show you anything. But if it persists, please, I want you to slow down and reconsider that decision to be in that relationship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number four, if you are having doubt about the salvation experience of that person, of your partner, please, I want you to slow down. I want you to slow down. So many things to be said along this area. Because this teaching is primarily meant for people who are children of God, I want to beg of you that when it comes to the issue of relationship, please, it is not scriptural. It is unwise for you to marry somebody, to be in a close relationship with somebody who does not have Christ, and you have the intention that you're going to marry that person. It is being said, I have taught it time and time again. I have a whole teaching on that, on the dangers and the benefits in marrying somebody who is a child of God, who is of the same faith. So we are also emphasizing it here, that when it comes to the issue of relationship, I'm talking about close relationship. Now, don't get it wrong. Don't get me wrong. You love everybody. You associate with everybody. But when it comes to relationship, you are coming together, you are thinking of getting married in the future, I want you to know that God emphasizes, it is emphasized in the Word of God, that the person must be somebody who is a child of God, who is going the same way, traveling the same way with you in your journey into eternity. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. The person's salvation must be sure. When we say somebody is saved or somebody has experienced the salvation of God, it means the person has made Jesus Christ the Savior and the Lord of his or her life. And the Bible says the process is simple, but the results are profound. The starting point is what I want to read to us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, or verses 9 to 13, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Two parts of your body that is mentioned there. Literally two parts now. Your mouth, you confess with your mouth, and then you believe with your heart, you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth Confession is made unto salvation. Believe in your heart that God has God raised Jesus from the dead. Of course, that presupposes that you also believe that Jesus died. He was raised from the dead. He died for your sin and my sin. He was raised from the dead. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And then you have to confess. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. Praise the name of Jesus. There's a song that we used to sing, "With my heart I believe, with my mouth I confess that he's Lord." If you do that by faith, then you are saved. Praise the name of Jesus. And look at, let me give you this. I like using this procedure that is easy to remember. That is four steps. ACTS. At ACTS. A stands for you acknowledge that you are a sinner, you have sinned against God, and you are not a child of God, that you are a sinner, that you have sinned against God. It starts with that. You acknowledge that. You don't debate your sin. You don't try to excuse your sin. You don't try to pass your sin to somebody else. You don't try to blame somebody else for your sin. You acknowledge, you accept that you are a sinner. And then C stands for the confessing of your sin. You confess your sin that, "Lord, I'm sorry for every sin I've committed." You can the ones you can remember, you can mention them, the sins I've committed, "Lord, forgive me." Every one of them, the ones you can remember, the ones you can't remember, God will forgive that, since you just generally pray that prayer. So, and then you also confess Jesus. You confess that Jesus died for your sin, and Jesus was raised up, and Jesus is now your Lord, is now your Savior. Then T means you turn away. You turn away. That is what repentance is all about. Repentance is thinking and turning away from the right, from wrong actions, wrong thought, and turning to right thought and right action. You turn away from your sin. You don't continue your sin. Some people don't. They get it wrong at that point. Once you say you have received Jesus, you don't continue in sin. Your sinful, your old sinful life will no longer be attractive to you. You turn away from your sin, and then you turn to Christ. You turn away from your sin, you turn to Christ. S stands for you surrender your life to Christ. The word "at," if you continually remember this, it will help you. It will also help you to lead somebody else to salvation. You accept that you are a sinner, you have sinned against God. You confess your sins to God. And then you confess Christ as your Savior. It's as simple as that. You confess him as your Savior and your Lord. And then you turn away from sin. This is very important. You don't continue in sin and expect grace to abound. Praise the name of Jesus. You turn away from your sin. You turn to Christ. And then you surrender your entire life to Jesus. He becomes your Lord. He becomes the controller general of your life from that very moment. Praise the name of Jesus. However, after doing all of this, we are talking about, remember, we had somebody might say, you are talking about danger signal in a relationship. What's this salvation thing all about? The point that led to that is that absence of salvation of the person that you are going out with is a sign that relationship is dangerous. It's dangerous to your health, to your well-being, and things like that. So salvation is what we are experiencing now. However, it's not enough for somebody to say, I've received Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. So at their foot of salvation, the Bible talks about things that accompany salvation. Hebrews chapter 6, you look out for this. It said, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, there should be things that will come out. That person's lifestyle should be able to reflect, should be able to show forth the fruit of the Spirit. We read earlier on Galatians chapter 5 verses 22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. All of this should be showing forth from time to time. Time to time, there should be a change in behavior. When somebody says, I have received salvation, there should be a change in behavior. This one has become very important Because we are living in the days that people are faking the salvation experience. They are faking it, especially some men, because they want to catch ladies who are committed to Christ. They feign salvation. They pretend they are saved. But you have to give it time. Look at it in their character. Praise the name of Jesus. If you can sense that, if there is absence of genuine salvation, if the person is pretending, please, I beg you, don't go further. The person is just pretending. Don't go further. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Related to that, let me add this other two. Related to that, let me add this two. Now, if this is a danger signal in a relationship, if the person does not have a permanent place of worship, if the person does not have a permanent local assembly, please slow down. These are the days that many people, you can't trace them to a local assembly. In fact, one of the signs of genuine salvation is that the person will have a local assembly where he or she is worships regularly and also is also known. So don't just say, the person says he's saved, he's born again, but he doesn't have a permanent place of fellowship. The person will say, I just hop from church to church. I just, any church that I feel like worshiping with, every Sunday I go there. That's his danger signal. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for that bait. Young lady, young man, don't settle for that bait. The person must have a permanent place of worship. Before I got married, I told myself I was not going to marry anybody who was not known by her pastor. I made up my mind because I didn't want to risk that. So when I met the person that I'm eventually married to today, the person was known in the local assembly. In fact, she was an active worker in that local assembly. In fact, they were even considering her for pastoral position. If she had remained there further, she would have probably by now become a pastor. So the person must have a local assembly. It is very, very erroneous for somebody, deceptive for somebody to say, I'm a child of God, but I don't have a local assembly. That's a lie. You know, we are like the spiritual Israel. We are like Israel. In Israel, every Israeli belonged to a tribe. Let me even take you as an example. As you are listening right now, in your country, you either belong to a state or a local county or whatever. There's a place you belong to before you can say, I'm a Nigerian, I'm an American, I'm a Briton. You belong to a state or a county or a place that is smaller than the country, that makes up the country. In Israel, there were 12 tribes and each person belonged to a tribe. You cannot say you are an Israelite and you don't belong to a tribe. So you cannot say you are a child of God, you are born again, you are saved, and you don't belong to a local assembly. Please watch out for this in the life of somebody that you are thinking that in a relationship, or you are thinking of starting a relationship, or you are thinking of getting married to that person. Find out, does this person have a permanent place of worship? This emphasis is important, has become very important this day, especially this day of internet worship. You know, people say, I want to watch my favorite pastor on the internet. I send my offering, my tithe. That's not enough. I know by virtue of some people's work, their profession, they are always on the move, they are traveling here and there. But you have a home. You have a place where you stay. That place should be, you should have a local assembly there, that when you travel, they know you have traveled. In fact, when you travel in these days of online services and all that, you can hook up to them when they are in their service and they are streaming it live. You can hook up to them. You should be known with the local assembly. Praise the name of Jesus. I want us to stop here. So far, I've discussed with us some danger signals in any relationship. We have looked at absence of love, absence of joy, absence of peace, doubt about salvation experience, and then somebody not having a permanent place of worship. Next, in the next part, I'll continue with the next. Please continue with me. The Lord bless you as you have listened. The Lord encourage you. The Lord strengthen you. May the Lord give you a heart to receive this word. And like Jesus Christ, our Lord said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And like Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. In the name of Jesus, amen.